everybody, Matt Medley here with the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia rap show that nobody asked for. I'm doing it. I don't care what anybody says. I am in season 11, episode 7, and there's always somebody here to help me through these episodes, guide me through, and for this chunk, the middle of season 11, Lauren Blair Donovan.
Yep, and this is the swan song. This is the last episode that I'm doing.
So basically what happened is I recorded this stretch with somebody else and those got lost. This is the second time I'm going through these episodes.
Oh, how fun for you. How fun for you.
I mean, again, why am I even doing this in the first place? Nobody's even on me about it. But it's okay because it's fun and I'm having fun.
So and I get to be here.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. So let's get into this one. McPoyle versus Ponderosa. The trial of the century, apparently, according to Mac. So right off the bat, again, these are two names in the universe of It's Always Sunny.
Yes.
We just went through Ponderosa last episode. McPoyles.
Yeah.
They stretch back to the first ones.
Milk. Yeah. I love it. Their entrance was amazing. I remember their first episode. And they also looked very weathered. Like some of the other characters, just really going downhill, like almost unrecognizable, at least from when I last saw them. So,
Margaret's, we don't see the brothers in this one though.
Wait, who was the one next to the woman then? Margaret?
That was Lion McPoyle.
So, which one is he?
He's another brother.
That was not in the first two?
I think it's the same actor.
Oh, okay. That's my confusion. Okay.
They play it off as a joke. It might still be him. We don't really know.
Yeah.
But we see Martha too. Martha's look the same.
More or less. I was confused by her and the lion.
Not the cat.
I was confused. I was conflating the two characters for a second. It took me a minute to be like, oh no, that's right. No, Dennis didn't marry someone in this family. He married someone in that family.
Ponderosa, right.
Yeah, because remember, Ponderosa was a little fuzzier to me when he first came on scene in the last episode. So that whole family dynamic just wasn't as memorable. I think I've just seen more of the McPoyle episodes.
Right.
But then, once I got it straightened in my head, I was like, got it. But
it took me a minute. So they had, a couple seasons ago, a massacre at the wedding.
Which I don't think I saw.
Didn't see that one? Okay.
I don't know.
That's what this trial's about.
I vaguely remember there being a wedding in one of those families, so now I'm curious if I have seen it, but it's not.
Somebody put bath salts, Ponderosa put bath salts in the milk.
Right.
That they were drinking during the party and everybody like went crazy.
Do bath salts not exist anymore? Because remember how they had like
that was
a thing?
Hot. It was hot for a second.
And then they've kind of gone away, you know?
It's all fentanyl.
It's all fentanyl now.
It's drugs. Drugs are just like genres of music, you know?
They're fads.
They fall out of fashion.
We were in the
bath salt
fad and culture.
We're in the bath salts moment. And that's what this trial is. There's gonna be a lot of swerves too. That's why again, it is a confusing episode because it was like he wasn't the brother, but was he? His name's Lion, which is a liar.
Right. There was a lot going on, but it was still weirdly easy to follow because it was a court, so you don't know all the information until it's presented. So the structure of it kind of worked, I think.
Okay. Well, as long as if you're confident with running through it. Actually, what do you think of Uncle Jack? What's been your Uncle Jack journey? Because he takes a huge break in the series.
Yeah, he was familiar to me, but I really wasn't placing him well. Okay. I knew he was in the universe, but I was like, I vaguely remembered something about the hands. Was he involved with Charlie's kitten mittens? Like, was he somebody that was helping him with that?
I think maybe during that time frame. Okay. Yeah, they used him sparingly and he's been back more recently.
I wish I remembered or did a binge or something leading up. I should have done that.
He has touched Charlie, which is the...
Oh, okay.
Because that's the first season. is Jack. Oh, he's in the first season? Yeah, Jack in the Charlie Got Molested episode.
Oh, that's who that is. Okay.
He's sitting on the couch. He's not the one who's accused. One of the McPoyles are.
Mm.
But he's on the couch, like, perving out to Charlie telling the story.
Okay.
Okay? And so he comes back around. Now, the hands thing.
Right.
Which you glossed over there for
a second. Yeah.
I don't even really understand what's up with that.
It feels like an overcompensation metaphor to dick
Is that what that is? That's an acceptable answer. Because, I mean, so in the past episodes, somebody would shake his hand and he would be like, oh, those are nice hands. Those are great hands.
Uh-huh.
And he was like to always commenting on people's hands.
So he has a complex about hands.
Yes.
Okay.
And yes, you're right. That makes maybe the most sense is the compensation. But how do you even describe it on a podcast?
It looked like bad cartoon AI hands. I don't even know. It was
clown
the Hulk hands.
When people get the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
the Incredible Hulk hands.
Yeah.
But like even trashier than that? I don't even know how to.
It did not look good. It did not look believable. No. It was like not like big enough to be like it's the size of his torso, but it was probably the size of his face.
Comically large.
Yeah. Like clown shoes, but hands.
So we get the whole beginning. They're starting in a courtroom. Bird law. Charlie's all about bird law. He's talking about his bird law. This is a throwback to the Wedding Massacre again, mm-hmm. so it sounds like you're caught up on that, so that's good. Dennis wants to worm in on this to get mm-hmm. his alimony payments.
Right.
I guess dismissed?
Yeah, thrown out.
It's a bad plan.
Yeah.
To think you could just interrupt another court case.
Yeah, I love how little knowledge they have of how life works.
Right.
Or like just
they're so dumb.
Yeah, like they're just it's impressive. It's impressive.
You almost can't be this lost. I mean, it's my, comment again on the Mac stuff, even from two episodes. You have to do one thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? Or said like, no, they're that dumb. They're that lost in life. They have no clue.
Yes.
So Dennis is there because Maureen is turning into a cat, is already a cat.
Yeah, which it felt like both a, there's that cat lady, I think she died a couple years back. Maybe I'm making that up, but she did so much plastic surgery that she looked like a cat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
In real life, huh?
Yeah, she was I feel like her name was Jocelyn something. She was like a socialite in New York, maybe.
Okay.
And she looked quite feline. And it also felt like a weird transgender story also trying to be validated for being a cat. But I couldn't tell where they were going with it, so it's hard to comment too much on the mapping of that because it was sort of glossed over a little.
Well, during the witness scene, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't even know what to say about that. I don't know what to say, but it felt like that's what they were going for.
Well, Maureen, so yeah, we get more of Maureen a little later. And so this lawyer also has been around.
Brian Unger. I love when he comes back. I love it.
And this tracks with my theory and what I just said before. If you stick with the gang,
mm-hmm.
you're fucked. Even if they anger you and you go back into their orbit, the server from one of the restaurants shows up in later seasons as well a bunch. But he's like trying. The lawyer is like, wants this case. He wants to get mm-hmm. back in their universe, mm-hmm. but it's like, buddy, big mistake. They're a hurricane of shit, and the ones who can get away from it live a nice long life.
Yeah, don't go walk into the hurricane, board up your windows.
Because everybody's cricket. Everybody's the waitress.
Yes.
Everybody, you go downhill.
Yes.
If you hang. The lawyer's in bad shape after this.
Yeah.
He gets a fucking eye gouged out or whatever. So he's back. He's ready to take on this case, apparently, because he hates him so much. And then our next guest star is Uncle Carl mm-hmm. from the Family Matters fame as the judge.
I loved it. I was like, I recognized the voice immediately because he wasn't on screen yet. I'm like, that is Carl Winslow.
Yeah.
That is my childhood speaking.
So wonderful to have all these people here. So that's what I had leading into the witnesses. Did you have anything before we get
I don't think so.
D on the witness stand here.
No, I don't think so.
So we get D. Uncle Jack brings it back to his hands. He also just wants to talk about the hands.
Yeah, he was very...
he's very focused here.
Yeah. Very like when somebody it just is awkward about always talking about something. Like, I feel like there's a physical mapping, like maybe a haircut or something. But like, yeah. I've definitely known people that are like, oh, my boyfriend always says, or my boyfriend and I did this. And it's like, we get it. You have a boyfriend. And it's like, we get it. You have big hands, or you like your hands, or whatever it is we're supposed to get. We don't really want to, but we heard you the first 80 times. Right. Like, you know, it's kind of like that phenomenon.
It's a point of emphasis for Uncle Jack these days.
Yes.
So D, they get some sort of trial. I mean, that's why it is kind of even a confusing episode. I don't want to get into the trial machinations because people are flipping. There's wrong information, blah, blah, blah. All I had was D flips on Ponderosa like in 1 second.
Oh, yeah.
So like she originally was like for the defense, but then it's like, oh, because the fur wasn't.
Yeah, she got offended that the bribe was not up to her liking. And then that's when, what's his name? Reginald Del Johnson. I think that's Carl Winslow's real name.
Okay.
Or I might be butchering it. I'm very bad at names. But he's like, do you know what perjury is?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she did.
No.
But yes, a very, very fun, dumb D scene. And she just flips on Ponderosa right away. Mac is upset because he doesn't have a thing.
Which is so funny.
Which is a comment on the episode as well. Like, sometimes I do wonder if they do just put things in that they're literally just kind of writing. Like, Max, like the writer is like, hey, I don't have anything to do in this episode. Put it in.
Yeah, probably. I feel like that's the type of show where that would happen. I don't think every show it would, but it's like, oh, we already have so much crazy going on. So it's almost like a grounded joke.
Yeah, right.
Versus reinventing the wheel to just be like, Mac has nothing. Let's just lean into that.
But he's mad about it. And he wants something.
Which is very on brand.
He tries. Yeah, he's going to worm his way into this. I mean, Dennis is already worming his way into this. You worm if you have a chance. So, Where do we have it? So Mac doesn't have a thing. He's mad about that. So our second person here is Maureen. So this is where we get to, she wants to be called a cat.
Yes.
Uncle Carl says, yes, that's fine.
Because so it's not even relevant to the information. So he's just diffusing the situation. Like, she can be whatever she wants. Just tell us what's going on.
Yes. So we get her on the stand. We get... I don't even really remember why she was on the stand. Again, she was testifying about something. It's mostly just because Dennis is trying to worm into this and he tries to get her to go. But I mean, great Maureen as a cat scenes.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed her.
I liked it. This is later, but when Dennis brought out the laser pointer and, you know.
We've done improv. We have improv friends.
Yes.
I immediately thought that that would have been such a fun thing to do.
That'd be easy to pull off on stage. Yeah, for sure.
So fun. But so she's full on cat and she does die in a little bit here. A couple seasons.
Enjoy
Maureen as a cat while you can.
All right.
Because I think she's she's almost there. Again, they do these things in increments. Mm-hmm. Cricket looks shittier every year.
Yeah,
or the waitress's life every year is just getting worse and worse. And so we've seen it with maybe Maureen's life is getting better. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I shouldn't judge.
Hmm. I don't think I know the character well enough to comment. Yeah.
Well, just from this episode alone.
Uh-huh.
Would you say she's living her best life? She's very happy?
I think it's a concern if you think you're an animal, so no.
Agreed. So, third witness is Frank. Now, this scene is important because Uncle Jack loses one of his hands and has the freak out of the episode.
Right. His noises he was making.
He just screams, "Nobody look."
Mm-hmm.
That's all he says.
in such a high-pitched, shrill, like, I was impressed with the commitment to that comedy bit, to be honest.
It went flying, and it was great. It was one of my favorite scenes of this episode, for sure. But again, I don't remember what Frank was saying. I didn't really write much down about the testimony. I mean, we're like... I think these are just scenes to kind of keep this fucking moving and
there's a lot get some of funny Jack being thrown
scenes and, yeah. in and
yeah.
I did not have much more than that. Nobody look as high pitch as you could possibly. It's a screech.
Yes. Way to not be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, you're
well, that's the thing.
Making it worse.
He is passing this off as if they yes. are real hands and people yes. think that they are real hands.
And then his illusion got shattered and he did not handle it well at all.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Jack. So that was that. We do come back. To who was the fourth? Okay. So this is, again, where it's a little confusing in this episode. So we get back. Fourth witness is Lion McPoyle, not Ryan.
Okay.
McPoyle. So he gets up there. Jack has duct taped the hands around and even looks...
More ridiculous.
Worse, yeah. More ridiculous, dumb. He's grilling Ryan. Again, they think that they've won. Yeah, again, the witnesses' scenes, I don't really know if there's anything to pick up there.
No, because it was the stuff that was leading up to it was, like, funnier. Like, the fact that, like, I don't know when this happened, if we're here yet, but when Mac was like, we need, what was it, a bomb or a twist? What was the terminology?
The bombshell's next. Bombshell. Exactly. Okay. The bombshell is next.
That was way more fun than a lot of the testimonies. Like, right. Some of the stuff... Yeah, like bookending the scenes.
Yeah,
like
it just kind of, yeah. We needed to move this along. And, oh, by the way, I just had 3 weeks of jury duty.
Oh, that's
so,
great.
Like, seeing this and...
Was it triggering?
It was not a jury trial, of course, but I know it's been said a million times, but this is way more exciting than what actually happens.
Right,
if
right.
they would have been held in contempt in the first fucking 2 seconds in a real courtroom, there's no way all this stuff happens.
Yeah.
It is so boring, stale, and I mean, intentionally, obviously. But would have loved to have had this case. This was a fun one.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's Ryan, not Ryan, or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, we get to the bombshell scene. Mac doesn't have anything. He wants a bombshell.
Yep.
So he calls himself, right? Oh, yes, he calls himself. He banged Margaret McPoyle to get some information that, again, we find out was wrong.
Right.
Like almost all of these testimonies, that's what I'm saying. It's so confusing because it sets up as one thing and then they flip it that it's like not or whatever. So, yeah, we get a great Margaret scene, a lot of her licking your lips, which is always pretty funny. And Matt getting upset. He's been had.
Yeah.
He's had sex with Margaret several times at this point. Margaret seems to be having fun. So that was all with the Mac scene there. Anything else before we get D-bursting in saying Jewish?
Which that'll be fun. No, I just think it's funny that Mac wanted such a heightened bombshell because it felt like a commentary on how true crime has become like a 4 ratings thing in a weird way. It's very thinly veiled. I don't think it's like... perfectly mapped, but I'm like, this is a, because these are all really smart people that write the show, you know, and it works because they don't miss a beat with culture, right? And I'm like, there is something, it wasn't totally fleshed out, but there especially with like the OJ Simpson trial being the trial of the century. That's literally what this is named, trial of the century.
Right.
And that was the first time we had 24-hour cycle news stuff, which don't even get me started on that rabbit hole and how that's changed culture. Because
for the worse,
100%.
Right.
But I'm like, there is something happening here about that where he's like, you need a twist for ratings. Like, that's how it read to me, whether I'm right or wrong.
Well, exactly. And I guess it's what... we do, to go back to how court actually is, mm-hmm. again, this thing I just experienced, which is right. actual court, that you're right, a lot of people, they see CSI or they think yeah. they think it's like, oh, the judicial system's great because I watch right. CSI and right. then, you know, everything gets wrapped up there. They have the DNA and they fucking whatever. And yeah. people's brains don't realize how fucking terrible it is.
100%.
Kind of because of these shows, unfortunately.
Yeah, they make it seem a lot more, tightly figured out, airtight. Yeah. And it's just never like that. And it's not usually that exciting. And it's,
but that's the yeah. vibe, as you're saying, yeah. that's a vibe it puts out, whether mm-hmm. it is a court case where they need a bombshell or a television yeah. show that just kind of fucks up everybody's mind about
it. It felt like Mac watched way too many, like, I don't know, like some kind of crime show. Like he yeah. just, he binged it over the week leading up to it and was like, nope, I know this backwards and forwards. I'm basically a lawyer now. This yeah. is how this works.
Well, you'll have to keep going because they parody straight up Making of a Murderer.
Oh, wow.
And that is Maureen Ponderosa's death.
Oh, God.
That's the murder. Jeez. So stick with it and you'll get all there right. If you keep going. So, but as I said, Dee bursts into the courtroom, calls the lawyer a Jew, and it's met tepidly. And she even catches herself.
Which was so funny to me. That was one of the funnier parts because I think sometimes, like, because her whole point was she's trying to point out that this guy's a liar.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was the legs.
Because he said he wasn't Jewish in the, because
right,
Frank did say the Jew lawyer.
Right. In the which first is a stereotype. Episode. That's a weird model minority stereotype right. where all Jewish lawyers are great. Like that is a real thing. And it's like, so it was funny that because she's like all proud because she caught him in a lie. But then the wording of it, I feel like that is real life where you people for, you know, it's good that we're progressive and we're not trying to stereotype each other and do racial slurs of any kind, but like sometimes when you have a point you can't help but like point out what the facts are, like someone being Jewish, and then you catch yourself, you're like, whoa, that's not what I mean, I'm yeah. not discriminating, I'm just saying the lie. So I just thought, like, this is one of the only shows that could pull off a joke like that.
Exactly.
So I kind it's of appreciated sneaky. That awkward human brain fallacy that can happen in real life with Hot Topic personal human interest issues, you know.
Well, yeah, and she almost calls out her mm-hmm. own shittiness,
yes.
even. Like,
yes.
it doesn't even get to the point where somebody else says something.
She's
where
like, oh,
it's
I heard it.
You are Jewish. Oh, no. Oh, God.
No, not that that's a bad thing, but yeah.
So that was a great scene. We've done four episodes, it's been light on D.
Yeah, a little
oddly
bit.
Enough.
Except
Light
for her making
D.
a smut film.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. So we get to Charlie's got a bird thing.
Yeah, bird law. Which, okay.
So he comes in with some sort of explanation about the crest, but I think the most important thing, so we get Pappy McPoyle, which is a famous director.
Mm.
Do you know?
The character or the actor playing?
The actor playing Pappy McPoyle.
Who's the director? What's his name?
Oscar-winning director? Shape of Water?
I have a movie podcast where I watch movies I've never seen, and the list is vast, so this is not narrowing it down at all for
Guillermo
me.
Guillermo del Toro.
Okay,
Guillermo
I've
del
heard,
Toro.
I've heard the name.
Well, anyways, he is Pappy McPoyle. He doesn't say much.
Yeah.
He's really just got that one
just
rambling
kind of
line.
Irish stereotype, basically.
And it's this big reveal to take off the hat. A bird
yeah.
comes out of the hat. And the courtroom is just fucking crazy.
But, yeah, I like that. Charlie basically did solve the case, like he kind of actually did it, but then he
yeah.
ruined it when he brought out the witness from UPenn by asking if he could talk to the bird. It's like you almost have Charlie being
that's
a
right.
smart
I forgot to
you
write
almost
that down.
Have Charlie
it's
being
almost
smart.
There right
he's almost
right.
a functioning human that figures something out and then he blows it by being like, so can you please talk to the bird or wherever he worded
but it's
it.
The most it's the dumbest way yeah you're right he does all this work and then it fails because
he's so stupid. Like he had it until he did that. Which was the most on-brand Charlie.
That is
thing
true.
To do.
He does have that little scene where the guy, the guy explains
it. It's like
it.
Back a couple seasons when he and the waitress have a magical day at the Jersey Shore.
Yes.
And she finally likes him. And then they wake up on the beach and it turns out she had relapsed and she was high on whatever drug she was on. It's like every time Charlie almost wins, he loses. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, you gotta.
Yeah. I mean, the whole cast, but the way he loses is always funnier to me for some reason.
Well, you're right. He kind of wins the... Well, he wins the case, I guess, because it
kind
is
of,
a...
Yeah.
He throws it out or whatever. So... We get to the end, and you know, Uncle Carl's like, all right, next, you know, case.
This is my favorite button of a show I've seen in a long time.
Somebody versus Patty's Pub, and they just turn around.
Oh, that's
and
us,
right
yeah. And he's so mad. I'm like, that's... Because I didn't see that coming. Sometimes you can, especially right. like when you're trained in this stuff, you can kind of see, even if you don't know the exact joke, you know it's coming, if nothing
right.
else. And you can take some educated guesses, and sometimes your batting average is higher than you'd want it to be because it ruins media for you.
Right.
But
right.
it's like, I did not see that coming.
This
like,
is
I was
perfect.
Very tickled.
Now, I saw
very
it coming because they've done this several times.
Oh, okay.
They
okay,
had
okay.
a courtroom one, and then they ended it with, all right, next case, and it's
oh, so
them
it's a
again.
Running gag at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. That's funny, too.
So, anything else before we get to the awards?
I think the only thing I wrote down that we didn't talk about was, I think it was when the bird was flying around all amok and stuff.
Okay.
Frank was
yeah.
doing coke in the courtroom. And I just want to point that out. Yeah, like they were just like, I'm like, that is so wild. Like,
it's unhinged. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They couldn't get away. Like, there's mm-hmm. just no fucking way. There's way too many cops. There's way too many egos. There's
yeah.
way, like, a judge's ego is even super huge. There's no
yes.
way they would fucking let, you know, any of this happen. But...
Not
we
grounded in the best way.
Not grounded, but we got
we love
through it.
It. We'll allow it.
Well, but again, a courtroom can be exciting. I mean,
sure.
that's why it
sure.
is like the scene of like anything, because it
yeah.
when you play with it and you don't really do
yeah.
it correctly, that
right.
you know.
Yeah.
So any, who won the episode?
I
best character.
I want to say Uncle Carl, not Uncle, but Carl Winslow. But I think that's just my nostalgia's talking. And he had great lines, and I liked him a
he
lot.
He kept it moving.
But, maybe you go first, because I think I need to think
I
about
thought you
that.
Were going to go with Uncle Jack. That's why you said Uncle.
I think I was too confused by the hand
he
stuff.
He does
as
have,
funny as
it's
it
just
was.
The one note.
Yeah, I don't know if it's enough to... What would you... What's your
Mac
favorite?
Is out. Not much from Mac. Not
but
much
I did.
From
I did.
Either.
I thought the Mac was funny, though. The fact that he wanted a bombshell. Like, there's something about that that is very funny to me. And the fact that Dennis was being so selfish is also funny to me.
It not super
maybe Charlie,
utilized.
Maybe Charlie
has a lot to do,
he's
and
a
he
contender.
Does. Yeah, because he's the lawyer. He's got the great bird thing towards the end.
He basically proves a point and ruins it. I guess
yeah.
it's Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get some fun bird law stuff from him. That's
right.
always fun.
Charlie got to shine in his Charliness in this, for sure.
Any lines?
I
That's
think,
the thing. It's a struggle with lines on this one.
I think it's more... the button that's the funniest word. You know, just the fact that they're next and then watching Carl Winslow kind of freak out, you know, the way he would if it was Steve Urkel was coming in. Like, that was the most memorable, even though it's not a line per se. It's
yeah.
more a setup or a joke in of itself. But
okay.
I think
okay.
that's my... What about you?
I'm going to decide it right
yeah.
now. I mean, it is Nobody Look. It,
oh,
and it's the
yeah,
high
that's a good
pitch.
Point. That's
I mean,
a good
it's
point.
Not a full
yeah.
quote, but I mean,
it
was just
yeah,
so.
It's a good joke.
So bananas.
Well, the way the joke itself is whatever, like on the page, but the way the actor delivered
right,
it
right.
is what sells it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, again, just the fact that he's so diluted. He thinks if nobody looks, they're going to think he's got these fucking hands.
And it's also like iridescent, like fluorescent courtroom lighting.
Yeah.
Like everyone saw it. It's not like he was shaded in under a tree or like a
threw it right
happened.
Into the
yeah.
audience or whatever you call
it. It was
the...
as blatant and in plain sight as you can get. And yet, don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look.
Brilliant. So I feel good. We wrapped this episode perfectly. How do you feel about it?
We're perfect.
Yes. Excellent. Well, hopefully you'll be back. I need people to fill this crazy time. Yeah, thank you.
This took a while. Matt is being so kind. We were probably supposed to do this a while ago. I had some stuff, so he's been very patient.
We're
so
both
if you want to
busy.
Have me back, if you want to have me back, I appreciate it.
We
I'm not
both
usually
so
this flaky.
Well, and you needed to figure out Hulu.
Yeah, I also was, I tried to get rid of my streaming services so I can be more present in life because I think I just escape and watch TV. And that's not always realistic, and that's been a journey, and I'm trying to figure that out. So it is what it is.
Well, thank you for renewing Hulu just for this stupid thing.
Thank you for giving me an excuse to.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we are, I didn't write down the next episode. You're just going to have to listen to it, but thank you. It's been a journey, season 11. I'm cranking through over halfway through, I guess, is season episode 6. So thanks again for joining me, and thank you out there for joining us. We'll see you next one.
Bye.